You're welcome to interview me as well.
So, 31 years ago, if you were alive then, go back to that time and think about it. I graduated the third Sun coach. I guess I won't say her name, although it is public information. Tina Jackson. Any of you ever met her?
I'll find her.
Yeah. And through Tina, I met Steve. So that's why I'm mentioning her. And it was a magical moment of synergy and connection. I didn't meet him 31 years ago, but that's how the world works, you know, networking. And you meet the people you're supposed to when you are supposed to. So Steve strongly believes that leaders are best prepared to lead this ever-evolving environment. And they will achieve the success for themselves when they're prepared, their organizations, and positively impact society at large. So how can we become best prepared? Well, our presenter today, Steve Galloway, ACC, is a leadership coach provocateur who facilitates the seeing of the frequently unseen, the discussing of the too often undiscussed, and the moving of the seemingly immovable. Let's see, and of course, presenters don't tell us when I ask for a short bio. They don't tell us what a wonderful presenter they are. They don't tell us what open invitation they are when they are in presence of your presence. They don't tell us that. But Steve encompasses all the things that have not been said yet. A wonderful colleague, a good friend. Let's see, hear, and feel how this best prepared can be achieved. With pleasure, I present Steve Galloway to you.
Oh my, Terry, thank you so much. I'm imagining and assuming, and you know what assuming means, but I can tell just from how you all entered the room and how you spoke to one another, and particularly how you greeted Terry E., that you're a really great group of people who have an interest in continuing to grow, to develop. And I can tell that you all have a passion about people being the best that they can be. I can just tell. So thank you for coming. And I thank you for this opportunity, Terry E., to share a message that I am, as you know, very, very passionate about. Before we get started, I have to share something else about one of my assumptions. I do have an assumption. I haven't met many of you. I think, Raphael, I might have seen you in some other conference somewhere, some setting. But one of the things that I did recognize was that we each have very different accents. And sometimes that can indicate where we're from. So if you can just quickly just tell me where you're from, your basic primary background in terms of your ethnicity, where you're from, your homeland, wherever it may be, Cleveland, Ohio. That's cool. They have an accent. I have an accent. But if we could just quickly who you are and where you're from, your general ethnicity in terms of identity, where you may be from. Can we just start? I'm just going to look at some names. Dahlia, can we start with you?
Yeah, I'm from Israel. Israel.
Israel. Oh, okay, great. Nice to have you. What? Gosh, you got up. It's kind of late, right?
No, it's 7 o'clock in the evening.
Never mind. Thank you. We'll just keep going across. Who's next? Enrique?
Yeah, I'm from Spain. From Madrid, yes. Spain.
You're near there now. Okay, excellent. Alfonso.
Hi, Steve. Nice to meet you. I'm from Madrid, also in Spain.
Great. Lourdes?
Hello, Steve. I'm from Madrid, Spain, too.
All right. Okay. Charlotte?
I'm from Malibu, California.
Okay, great. All right.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, I'm Sharon. I'm from currently from New Jersey, originally from Rhode Island in the United States.
Okay. Am I pronouncing Almog?
Yeah, it's Almog, basically. It's like a Hebrew name. So I'm from Tel Aviv, Israel, as well.
All right. And Ortal, I think you are as well, right?
Yeah, I'm from Israel too.
Yes, great. Excellent. Well, great. Glad to know that is part of my
passion. Best one.
Oh, who else?
It is Romina.
Yes.
And Romina.
And Romina. I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm a mutt. I have a combination of European, African, Native. So I have, and that's not just present in my DNA, that's also present in our culture.
Yes, okay. And is it Romina? Yeah, I think you're muted, my friend. Thank you, Raphael.
And I'm Terry Belf, and I have traveled to the south of the U.S., but really I come from New York.
you're multilingual, right? Did we miss it? Is it?
Romina.
Okay, sorry I'm late. So what is the question?
Where are you from?
I'm from Italy. Specifically, I'm from Sardinia, which is an island in Italy.
Is that where you're joining us from?
Yes.
Great. Excellent. I ask because the centerpiece of what we're talking about today and the centerpiece of around a lot of my work in the coaching world, in the leadership development and consulting world is around difference, diversity. And I'm sure all of you have probably had some of those experiences and some conversations around the diversity piece. But I want you to know that my message to today also is centered on my identity and all of its various aspects and my perspectives on my lived experiences. So it's coming from that as well. And a key piece of that is born and raised in the United States, born and raised in the United States, American cultures, and all of the dynamics that develop and help to shape the American experience. So that's where I'm coming from. But I'm also coming from a place of curiosity and wanting to know about yours as well and how yours impact.
Is it me that I lost connection?
Yes, if there is.
The connection went and is still loose. Imagine it coming really strongly through. Everybody, put your focus on that for a moment.
Imagine he's still talking.
Oh, am I anymore?
We didn't hear you.
Hold on.
Because of the connection.
Okay, so we have, just for the recording, we have a frozen screen for a little bit, and a recording is going to be next. A video.
I'm still here.
If you can hear us, we cannot hear you, and the screen has been frozen for about a minute already. There we go. Wow.
Can you hear me now?
Now we can hear you. Yes, Steve.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry. You can hear me now, right?
Yes, you're clear.
All right, so now I'm trying to get the screen back.
We can see a screen share. Oops, now it's gone.
Can you see anything now?
Yep.
Yes, we can see the screen now.
I am so sorry.
Not your fault.
And this, great. Thank you, Terry, for coaching me through my anxiety around that.
Zoom is sensitive to the passion.
All right. So to the title of this experience that we're going to have today, and I'll just go through quickly. Coaching through the lens of race. As I said before, that's my perspective. That's where I'm coming to you from. But race is throughout the world. So I'm sure you all have experience with that. But is coaching through the lens of race a closer look at the challenges faced by Blacks primarily in the U.S. context of their workplace? So just want to go through it. So I'm going to share a quick story with you. The learning circles were announced, and it was now time for the members to introduce themselves. John enthusiastically volunteered to go first. Following the process as directed by the instructor, he shared his name, what he did for work, something of which he was proud, something about himself not on his resume, and a picture depicting another important aspect of himself. He responded to the last prompt with a drawing of a cookie. He said, "This is a cookie, and you'll notice it only has one chip in it. That's me. I'm usually the only chocolate chip in the cookie." Then he, the only black man in the learning circle and in the cohort, placed his drawing on the wall and sat down. An awkward silence fell on the group for a few seconds before the next member stood to introduce herself. The next day, during lunch, the learning circle members gathered without him. "He played the race card," said one. "I felt attached," said another. "He seemed to be a pretty nice guy," said the third person. "But the chocolate chip thing makes me wonder if I want to get to know him or not." Another said, "I thought he came here to learn how to be a leadership coach like I did. Now I realize he must be angry about some workplace or life issues. Coaching is colorless." So, for a quick discussion amongst us, what was my friend's point? What was he intending to accomplish and why? When he shared his story about being the chocolate chip, what was he talking about? What was going on there? Why was he doing that? Orto, can we, oh, let's see, I'm sorry. Let me just stop share for a second here.
What do you mean?
You heard that story. I was gonna ask you to stop share, but I found it. You heard the story about the person in the learning circle. And as he shared his story, he talked about the chocolate chip, but it caused some, you know, concern amongst the members. What do you think his intention was? What may that story be about? Anything, just, we're all friends here, so there's no wrong answer.
It's about his reality. It's about what he goes through as a person of color in a white world.
I think he wanted to feel heard and noticed.
Mm-hmm. Dahlia, go for it. I see your hand. Yeah, yes. Thank you, Raphael. Terry E. It's a Dahlia. I see your hand raised. Just go ahead and speak.
I think it's about the interpretation of the others, because he could talk about his uniqueness.
Yeah. Yes. Interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was also just stating the obvious. I mean, if he was the only black man in the room, people would notice that. And he just brought awareness to his comfort with that. Mm-hmm. To me, he was saying he was comfortable with that, but, you know, it was a fact about him.
Mm-hmm. Alfonso, your thoughts, sir?
I agree with Dahlia. It's uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
Because uniqueness deletes any kind of racial or sex oriented or any group identification.
Yeah, yeah. And yet,
it's a great way to solve the issue.
To put it there, yes. Anyone else?
My electronic hand isn't working, so you'll have to.
Oh, I didn't see your electronic hand. I still see Alfonso's. Yeah, okay.
You know, a lot depends upon how he said it. Because different ways of speaking it would give more data to how he is representing himself.
Yeah, so what was your interpretation of how he said it? I tried to read it the way it.
Right.
What do you think, Terry?
So if he said, "I'm the only chocolate chip in the cookie," it's different from "I'm the only chocolate chip in the cookie."
Mm-hmm. So, and that difference meaning what, you think?
Well, it could go anywhere, and I'm guessing it could go from pride, I'm the only chocolate chip in the cookie. It could go from I'm the only chocolate chip in the cookie. I'm alone. So there's
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah, yeah, okay. Dahlia?
Okay, thank you. My interpretation, because I would like to ask him why, but because I have to make an assumption, I think it's because of the anxiety of being different, and with this metaphor, maybe he wanted to like reduce that anxiety and prove that he was part of the same group.
Interesting. Yes. Okay. Hunter. Okay.
Yeah. For me, I have no idea about guessing the intention, but the fact is that he's pointing out the race as an aspect into the group. Mm-hmm. And as Fonso says, or Dahlia says, that uniqueness, one way is to present yourself as unique, and the other way could be don't make any difference. So if you are, for me, if mm-hmm. you are pointing out the race, it's because it's something important for him, despite the fact that he's the only one, the color one in the group.
Yes, 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 yes. You're all right on target. You're all right on with this. And a couple of things I wanted to highlight with about it is what his intentions are. Also, one thing that we can is try to, when we go back, when you reflect on this later, what were the responses about? Just question that person. Why did people respond that way? What were their responses about? And so here are just a couple of things that may be behind his intention. Acknowledging his identity. We all have an identity. We're made up of a myriad of things that help identify who we are. And for some, race is a very important element of that. And I say for some, maybe not for everyone. But for him, his acknowledgement that is a key piece of his identity was, I want to put that out there, right? Another aspect is to be seen by others is, hey, it's okay that I am the only Black man in the room. And also, I want you to recognize that. I want you to acknowledge that. And it's okay. We're not making any assumptions about it. We're not making any ideas or judgments about it, but it's a recognition and a way to let people know that I am here and I want to be seen. Another way of looking at this, along with others, is to debunk the myth of color blindness. You may have heard about this term before, but color blindness meaning that there's nothing wrong with recognizing the race, the difference of other people based on their race. It's okay. And behind that is that often, and remember, I'm coming from a US perspective. That's my background. That's my identity. That's the culture that I've lived in and the culture that has shaped me. In America, in particular, race is very powerful and has significance in terms of in and out status. And there's a history here in the United States, significant history around race and the impact and the dynamics of race and cross race amongst people. And that often people of color, you've probably heard that term before, people of color have experienced very different things based on that, based on their race, based on the color that people see. In a lot of cases, it's been injustices, oppression, and various other things. I want to put that out there right away because again, the context within which I'm working and living, that is very significant. And the people that we coach here, particularly in the U.S., and some in other countries as well, but particularly from that U.S. perspective, that race dynamic is something that we need to not only be aware of, but we need to be super conscious of and understand it and have the skills to be able to address it and leverage it as we're trying to coach our clients to be the best that they can be, recognizing that that may be a challenge for some. That's my message primarily today, is around recognizing that. And also some assumptions and definitions that I'm going under and operating under, that I want us to think about as we move forward for the rest of the few minutes that we have together. Some definitions and some general assumptions. Race, again, I'm coming from a US perspective, Western perspective. Race is not scientific. It's a social construct. Human beings decided what race was. There's extremely very, very little, it's infinitesimal about the differences genetically across race. Yes, there is some, but for the most part, as human beings, there are no significant differences. But we created race as a way of designating and distinguishing people. Often, it's a way of judging, separating, and creating various divisions among certain types of people. So that's one thing, that assumption that I'm under and definition I want to talk about. Prejudice is using that as an attitude based on some ingrained, inflexible, or uninformed generalization about people. Oh, this group of people behaves this way. This group of people behaves that way. This group of people have a higher level of intelligence than another. I'm sure you've probably heard some of those things about different groups of folks. But when we have those types of attitudes, a behavior that results is something called discrimination. It's when we act on those prejudices. And we can act on those prejudices by the way we hire folks, the way the services that we offer people, the opportunities that we may offer people, and we call that discrimination. Ultimately, those combined create what we call a system of inequality, which is called racism. Based on those differences that we've created in our heads about people and distinctions that we've created about people and the assumptions that we've created about people, particularly based on what we've determined to be race, it's a practice of racism. It becomes a systemic type of thing in the policies and so forth. Sure, we all have opinions and perspectives on that, but I want to put that out there again to show you that that's the perspective that we're talking about here in terms of coaching. So why are we here? What's behind Steve Galloway's message is, based on all of those things, based on the chocolate chip cookie, based on the myth of color blindness, based on historic perspectives on race, prejudice, discrimination, oppression, many of the people that we serve as coaches, many of them have been experiencing periods of feeling that I'm alone, I'm not recognized, maybe I don't belong, I'm confused, I'm really stressed out because I don't think I'm being treated the same way, I'm not being treated equitably, I'm exhausted, I can't perform at my best because these outside things, these perspectives, these opinions, these beliefs, these assumptions, these attitudes about me because of my difference are not enabling me to be my best self. Now, we know as coaches, that's part of what we do. That's really the thing that we do. We help people be their best selves. Yet, if there are things out there that are impacting people in this way of being your best self, we might not have the competencies or the abilities to even understand what those are. My message to you today as coaches is do your best to try to understand the different experiences and the context within that people live in, particularly when it comes to race and difference that's significant in your culture. So let me just stop sharing right there and just ask and just open it up to you. What questions or perspectives do you have? Because we're trying to, I'm maybe putting a lot in without hearing more from you. And I'd like to do that. Just go for it. Just open up your microphones and go.
Dave, this may sound lightheaded, but my initial reaction to the chocolate chip cookie was, I like chocolate chip cookies. So it might not have been appropriate to answer out loud that thought in that group, or maybe it would have lightened up the whole aspect and made the statement okay, made the person comfortable.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. Charlotte, if I was the person saying that and you said it, I would feel more welcomed, absolutely.
The other thing is, I think the announcement in itself was defensive. I think that announcement assumed prejudice, but there are many of us who were very open and loving and don't care a hoot mm-hmm. about what shade people are.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it might have had some of that in it. And also hold the possibility that it was just a recognition of recognizing that it's okay that I am the only one here. That I recognize that as a key part of my identity, and I just want people to know. That's another possible though. Raphael? I see your hand.
So I would add to the concept of racism as a system that it also involves who is in control of the resources. Because it's how those are shared equitably without prejudice that also has direct consequences on the experience of people of color in this country mm-hmm. or any other country.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you. Yep, appreciate that. Anyone else? I think you are getting it, and I'm always available. We can talk more, and probably in much. There's so much wisdom on this call that we all have these experiences and perspectives about this type of topic.
Dahlia has her hand raised.
Okay, I didn't see that one. Thank you, Dahlia. Go for it.
Never mind, I just have a question and I could ask later, it's okay. And maybe I do not understand from a personal point of view, but what would happen if he just introduced himself without saying, I'm the chocolate chip, how do you call it, on the cookie? Mm-hmm. Would they still think those thoughts? I mean, we are focusing on the person, but we don't focus on the other's attitudes and answers or how do you call it, remarks that they make. And I wonder why, because I think this represents maybe a lot of people in the world that they are looking at this person that is different from them probably, but why are you focusing on the person and not on the other people? That's what I wanted to ask.
Oh, so you're asking the group, why are they focusing on the black gentleman rather than everybody else?
I'm asking you, why do you focus on this person and not on the group that of course they have a lot of thoughts of racism and prejudice thoughts. Because I think that if a person is introducing himself and said, I am Harry, let's say, and he doesn't add the, I am the chocolate, okay? So maybe nothing was happened. That's what I'm thinking.
And my question for you to consider is what's wrong with him recognizing that that's a key part of his identity?
I don't know if it's wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying what would happen. I'm thinking what a person needs to introduce himself, not with this part of his identity. I mean, what does it take? I don't understand it personally. With my point of view, I don't understand.
Don't understand why he brought that part of his identity out?
Yeah, that's what I want to ask.
Yeah.
Because I know, still 1 minute, I know that my feeling today, in those days, and I have here other friends from Israel, that I would feel the same when I'm going abroad now. Our state in Israel is not the best now outside in the world, okay? So I would feel the same with discrimination and a lot of things. I don't want to get into it. I'm just... Okay, so that's... I'm asking really for understanding. I hope you understood me.
I think I do. And one, we can continue to talk, but would anybody else in the group have a perspective on what they could share to address that question?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Steve.
May I answer to you, Dalia?
Romina, I've been looking at Cheryl.
Oh, sorry. Cheryl
from the beginning of this meeting.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's okay, Sharon, go ahead.
I think that it's... he was just trying, he was bringing himself into the room, and that's part of who he was, and that's part of what he wanted to and say about himself. They're asking people, who are you? What, you know, describe yourself, draw a picture. So he, you know, that came up for him and he drew it. Now, I'm often the only Black person in the room. That's part of what goes on in my life. That's all he was simply sharing. Then we can talk about the responses, which unfortunately are all too typical. But he seemed to me to be doing it in a lighthearted way that was actually, would have been diffusing things. Unfortunately, I didn't get that reaction, but all too common. I mean, I have a client, a Black client, who is a head of HR, and he also runs the diversity program for his company. And there's a lot of that kind of situation where the a Black person simply being Black or having their diversity trainings and talking about those things riles everybody up. And they think, why are you doing this? And why can't we ignore this? And, you know, why, you know, you're playing the race card, those comments that people were making. And it's real. So then you deal with it. Now it's like, I feel like you just brought the elephant up in the room early. That's all. Rather than later, waiting for it to come up, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's an elf in the room. Notice it.
Yeah. So just one, before we move on, because there are a couple other folks that want to speak, notice what's going on for you right now. Kind of maybe take off your coach's hat or maybe keep your coach's hat on, but also observe yourself and notice what's going on for you right now. Your thoughts, your feelings. Because then we're going to talk about, so what does that mean as a coach? Mm-hmm. When you're coaching someone that may be having these thoughts and feelings. Okay, so I don't see any hands, but I think, Romina, you had something to say. And
yeah, it's something, okay. Dalia asked a question, and I was thinking about, I related to this man because I felt like he wanted to talk about his identity, his part of his identity, his roots. Because I related to him because, I live in a place, because I said the same. When I introduced myself, I said, I'm Italian and I come from Sardinia, which is an island. And Sardinia has been colonized and we've been discriminated for years. So, because it was the poorest region in Italy, because of many things, you know, until the 19th, more or less. And in Sardinia, we had the darkest people from Italy. So we were not considered beautiful. And so many things like this. So it's a long history. But anyway, I felt I couldn't understand why it said that. I don't know. Obviously, it's not the same history. It's not the same thing. But I feel like I understand what I want to say. I'm from Sardinia. It's part of my identity. It's my history. That's what I understood from what I said. I didn't think about anything else, honestly. And, well, as a coach, I don't know now because I was really into that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, Alfonso, I see your hand. Thank you. Alfonso?
You're on mute.
Just a question, Steve. You were presenting a slide with loneliness and fear and so many different kinds of emotions. From the coaching point of view, should the coach around these feelings and emotions in a different way, depending on some, not only race, but cultural or economic or differences.
I'll just quickly answer that from just my perspective. There are 8 of us on the call, 20 of you know, there are going to be different perspectives, but I'll tell you from my perspective. You have all the tools that you need for the most part to coach across all of those dynamics, those concerns, those feelings that people may have. And you may, and the short answer is, yes, you coach differently, yet you coach the same. You ask the same deep questions. You ask the same deep, evocative type of questions. You engage, but here's the difference. You're doing it now from a heightened and a new level of awareness of the context, most likely, that this person has lived in and the things that have shaped her or his life in the context of their race in particular. Remember now, I'm talking about the American racial dynamic. I would imagine that there are racial and ethnic dynamics probably in every corner of the world.
Yeah.
Right? But if you have a heightened level of awareness and understanding of where that person may, what has probably shaped that person's thoughts and perspectives, what may bother them, what may be impacting their ability to be the best that they can be. If you have that level of awareness, and also you are not intimidated or afraid to have that type of conversation and dialogue, even though it's not my race. Let's say it's a black man across the table. I can't truly identify with you because I'm not black. But yet, if I have enough awareness, understanding, context, and the ability to engage in that effectively, I can almost guarantee you will have an effective coaching engagement. Because you all know what happens when people don't truly show up as themselves when they engage with you as a coach. You can't get as far with them as perhaps they want to because they're holding something back. And for a lot of people, the holding back can be because of the dynamics that they experience based on their race, based on their ethnicity, based even on their nationality, because we have assumptions, biases, prejudices, and everything that we carry. You and I carry biases into an engagement, into a conversation. So one, first as the coach, What are some of the things that I may be assuming about the other? What may I be assuming about you because you're from, hypothetically, I'm using this as an example, Sardinia. What are my stories? These are kind of, I think, coach words that we kind of use. What are my stories about people from Antarctica? Aren't they rather cold and callous people? Now, if I'm coaching someone and I'm carrying these biases and assumptions and prejudices about people from Antarctica, and I'm coaching an Antarctican person, how truly effective am I being as a coach? That's just a question for us to ponder and to consider. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm going with all of this. Yeah, Portal?
Thank you.
If I'm pronouncing it correctly, I hope.
Yeah, you pronounced very well. Thank you.
In 5 minutes?
It was, your question is, you raised a very hard question for me to coach now these days. And I had a client that she was from Lebanon and I'm from Israel. Imagine. And so we start 2 weeks before the war start, and then the war start. It was so hard. I felt that I need to ask myself this question before. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that she's asking her, although there was love between us. We only start to knew each other, but it was hard. So she rescheduled all the time the meeting. She couldn't come. And then she came and she said, I want to apologize. And it was a very good, it was not a coaching meeting because we had to put something on the table. We couldn't continue otherwise. And she didn't want to replace a coach. She didn't want to. It was really, really, I felt that it was the first time that something in me is, that it's come, it come with me because I'm, the moment that I open the camera, she can know where I'm from and she choose because she was curious. So it is really challenging. And I don't know, I think to put the elephant on the table, sometimes it's the right thing to do for some people. Some is not, they prefer to live it in that way.
Yes, thank you for that story. You know, what your story says to me, Ortal, is it is tough, it's hard, it's challenging, especially such dynamics as the one that you shared. And those types of tensions exist everywhere, really, where one day you're friends, the next day you're not, perhaps, based on who you are, where you are, and your perspectives. Yet something more powerful entered in that relation, was in that relationship that enabled both of you to like, okay, we can recognize that there are some significant differences, but yet there's something more powerful that brings us together.
You're right. And you know what? You know what was it? Was we want good future for all of us. So this was the reason for us to continue to be on the same. She could choose differently. I allow her. I suggested. I said, you do whatever is good for you. She said, no, I choose to live together in this world and we will do it together. So it was something bigger than us. And then we could continue to be coaching the client. Yeah. Yeah.
And so, yeah, thank you for that. And I think here's my bias. I'll share with you the bias. I think that's truly at the heart of coaching. I think that's truly at the heart of coaching, that no matter what the difference may be, the main reason that we're together as coach, client, coach, coachee, partners, whatever word you use for that, is for the something bigger. And my suggestion to you and what I'm trying to share with you today is that those dramatic differences that exist, be it Lebanon, Israel, Palestinian, whatever it may be, whatever those conflicts are, black, white, they're all not that way. But they do get in the way of us both being the best human beings that we can be. My message is, as coaches, we have, I know we like to think of ourselves as being really different than the other folks, and we are to some degree, but for the other thing is we're just like everyone else too. But for coaches, we have a higher calling. And so what can we learn about ourselves? What can we learn about the others that will allow us to do this in a coaching relationship? So I know I've done a lot of talking, and I know there's probably room for us to talk another 2 or 3 hours. I want to open it up again. And Terry E. shared with me that usually the last 10 minutes or so are for questions and answers. And I want to get to those. But let me do this one thing before we go. I want to share this. And Terry's going to share things with you too. The deck that I have. I prepared a deck for you, of course. And I want to share that. Let's see. Here we go. Share. I want to get to this one point. We talk about competencies, ICF competencies, and the competencies have been changed. You all probably are aware of those. But there are particular competencies that speak to identity. That's what I've talked about today. And I've highlighted a couple of those. Competency 1, 2, 3, 5, 6 demonstrates ethical practice, embodies a coaching mindset. Those particularly, if you want to go back and read those specifically about what they're saying about how they address and look at competency. Okay. And here's the other thing I want to share with you. How do you coach through the lens of race? One, here's some tips, some ideas that I'd like to offer you. Actively, consciously, suspend your unbelief. And when I say suspend your unbelief, if you have it, that it's the same for everybody. Life is the same. It doesn't matter what race, ethnicity, nationality you are. Everybody has the same opportunity to be who they want to be. And that although someone may be saying they don't, I don't believe that, believe it. Suspend your unbelief. Secondly, recognize and accept the reality that for some people, there are some negative challenges that they face and the impacts experienced, I'm talking about your Black clients here, by your Black clients, or maybe your clients of difference. If you don't have Black clients, you may have clients that are different from you in a big way. How they may be invisible, how those things might be invisible to you, unimaginable to you, but they're real for that person. So accept that person, accept their reality. Respect your clients, acknowledge and value their experiences. And they have an expertise that you don't. They have an expertise of living while Black. They have an expertise while living Sardinian. They have an expertise living Israeli. They have the expertise in that you may not have. So accept it. Listen and learn. Get educated more about their experience, their world. And then finally, this kind of speaks to one of your other points that someone was making. Coach, you guys are coaches. You've got this. You've got a lot of the skills. Use your coaching skills. Probe. You heard this before. Explore. Discern what themes are coming up. What connections, listen, challenge, support, all of those things that we've learned as coaches to do. You can do that. All I'm saying is now, hey, from a different perspective, what does that look like? And then help your clients map out a way forward because they're stuck. They're with you for a reason. Help them move through that, okay? Just help them move through it so that they can do better. This is I made a little quote here. Coaching with a cultural racial competence is not a destination. It is a process of ongoing learning and unlearning. What do I need to unlearn? That courageously, I think Ortal was very courageous, that courageously invites deep self-awareness and assessment of programmed biases, stereotypes, and viewpoints of others, as well as increasing awareness of the context, cultures, and lived experiences of others who are different from us. That's truly my message. I want to open it back up to your questions, thoughts, ideas, perspectives, insights. I know it was a lot of information, but what are you thinking as a coach about this? Raphael, go for it. Can't hear you, Raphael.
Yes, I think I just unmuted.
Okay.
I have to tell you, I got a reaction from reading your slide and you specifying Black only. So
yeah.
The first slide, you kind of debunk race, which is true. When I talk to my anthropologist friends, they say race is not true. There's no such a thing as different races in the human.
Yeah, that is socially constructed. Yeah.
Right. But yet you, after all this wonderful conversation, what I see on your slide is Black, and I feel left out as a Hispanic, part Black, part Native.
Yeah.
I feel left out in the way that I've been also discriminated against.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get discriminated on both sides, because sometimes people of color perceive me as white, which, by the way, only happens amongst people of color. I have never been confused as white by other white people.
Interesting. Yeah, that's great.
My offer to you is, your information is great. I would expand that from just Black and have it to be more inclusive, which is part of what we're talking about here.
And I love it, because I'm a DEI consultant as well. Yes, you're absolutely right, my friend. I do that. And I did it intentionally. And usually, typically at the end of this, I said, we can replace Black with any ethnicity, any difference. We can go gender, we can go sexual orientation. But I do Black specifically, again, remembering the context within I'm in right now. I live in the Washington, D.C. area. Many of the clients and many of my associates, they're dealing very much with the race dynamic that is the Black-white dynamic. That's there. And so I'm not making excuses for that, but you are absolutely right. And we could take that out and put in a number of differences there. But I do that particularly in my client base, where I am, because that seems to be the most pressing, dynamic, sensitive, divisive issue around. And yet, your point is so right on. It brings up the fact that we can be our own worst enemy, because we'll find something to separate ourselves on.
It's part of our human.
Yeah. Yet, I'm trying to inform people that we can approach them all, but this is something we can stop. But thank you so much. I appreciate that. Love to continue dialogue with you. Who else? We got a couple minutes. I'm sorry. I apologize for that, but I'm glad we had a chance to talk. Two or three more comments before Terry E turns the video off.
Steve, I just think that as coaches and as humans, we need to approach each person and just give ourselves over to the person. It's not about us, it's about them and the coaching situation. To just, whatever we have is ours. Build a wall. It's about you. What you want.
And whoever the you is, right?
Right. When we set up the profession, I put out there that we are setting up a profession to have an authentic, respectful conversation. If we could achieve that, it covers it all. An authentic, respectful conversation. And it seems silly that I was going to get paid to make sure that we increase the number of respectful, authentic conversations. But that's a lot of what you are offering and bringing it right in so that we can have our reactions, so that we can get our learning, so that we can end up training the others to have authentic, respectful conversations. I thank you very much, Steve. Very, very much. I'm profoundly inside right now, so that's all I can say. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And I thank all of you for attending and being attentive and listening. And I Terry E will have a copy of the deck. You'll have more information than we ever got to, but I'm always